B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Press off the chest. Horan setting it in there.
Oh, was it Alex Morgan's 30th birthday yesterday? I don't know if they mentioned that on the broadcast. All right, women's U.S. women's team yesterday, 2-1 win over England in the World Cup semifinal, so they're on to the final. By the way, if you're a siren in Chatham, Massachusetts right now, no cause for alarm. You might think it's some kind of a shark siren. It is not. This is a regular test that they do. Did you have siren tests growing up, Ted? Do you remember those?
I do not recall that.
Where I grew up in Michigan, I believe it was the first Saturday of every month at 1 p.m., the tornado sirens.
Oh, tornado sirens. Okay. Yeah.
All over. There was no mistaking what it was.
Ever have to? Was there ever a siren where legit there were tornadoes, or were they?
Oh yeah,
okay.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of tornadoes in Michigan. Never would have.
It's the top end of
that.
Tornado Alley there.
So yeah. TV was the first one onto this. We should probably have noticed this. This is the Chatham EMA Twitter that a lot of locals are retweeting.
Yeah.
If you click on it, it's actually Chatham, Georgia, Chatham County, Georgia.
No, I don't believe that.
Jeez. Okay. Great.
Chatham Emergency Management.
Got everybody worked up in
Savannah,
Chatham,
Georgia.
No, all right.
Well, you're saying that we don't have anybody listening in Chatham, Georgia?
Oh, no,
right?
That's true. We could.
That's true.
Okay.
Very good point.
It would be unfortunate timing if it was today in Chatham, 11 o'clock, 90 degrees out.
Not only that, or if they do have a siren for great white sharks in Chatham, Mass., and we just told everybody, don't worry about it, it's only a test. That would be even worse. But, all right, forget it.
Hey, quickly,
Moving on. Before
we get to this story, you mentioned Michigan.
Yeah.
Big golfer. Is it worth a men's golf trip to was it upstate Michigan?
Oh, northern Michigan.
What's that area called?
You don't want to go all the way up to the Upper Peninsula. You don't have to go that far northern Michigan. T-Bone spent some time in northern Michigan. It's beautiful. There are amazing golf courses in the most unlikely of places. I don't know if you and I talked about this or if I did on the golf show last week, but Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and I think golfers know because they've seen major championships contested in Kohler. And, the Oakland Hills is just outside of Detroit. There was a tournament at the golf club of Detroit just a couple of days ago. But
there's
going
a top 10 course in Nebraska.
But my wife is from Nebraska. She'll tell you about some twisters. Amazing golf courses in Nebraska.
I love that. I love that they're like those kind of
I think Minnesota at one point.
Championship caliber courses in the middle of nowhere.
At one point, Minnesota had more golfers per capita than any state in the union. Figure it out. I don't know why. I feel it has something to do with the people appreciate the warm weather more in places where the weather is absolute crap during the wintertime. So they get out and enjoy everything there is to enjoy about the 4 months that they get.
Did you enjoy that Super Bowl in Minneapolis?
Oh, it's delightful.
How fun was that?
Delightful.
God.
The people are very nice. Nine below.
The extended forecast, the high was -1. -1.
And everybody was there said the same thing. It's like, this is a different kind of cold.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's just, and there wasn't a lot of snow. It was just cold. It was so cold.
Let's put everybody in Radio Row in the food court.
And then they make the time, that Morris Day and the time, play outdoors on media night. How dare you? Jesse, Jerome, Morris, you stick them outside when it's 10 below zero? But, they're Minneapolis guys. Yep. They're used to it. They were fine. They were fine. Professionals. All right. So the Women's World Cup took place yesterday. 2-1 win for the U.S. women over England. Did you watch any of the match today?
I did not. I just saw the highlights. So.
Well, I have not been a fan of this Women's World Cup team. I thought that them hanging 13 goals on Thailand was, you know, that's what you do. You score and you score. I did not like the celebrating afterward.
I'm with you, 100%.
I find something just mildly distasteful about the very obvious fact now that the biggest fans of the U.S. Women's World Cup team is, in fact, the U.S. Women's World Cup team. They love themselves themselves.
Unlike any other team I've ever seen, really, assembled for you know, a World Cup or you know, just an Olympic team, you know, these types of events that come every 2 or 4 years like this. I said this yesterday. I was on with Adam Jones, and I got on my soapbox a little bit. Tone down the fervor, ladies. Tone down the fervor.
Well, listen.
Is my opinion on that.
And then for people of that mindset who did not like the celebrating of the goals, and I was not a fan of it after you get up, you know, 8-9-0. I mean, what are you doing? What are you even celebrating? It's apparently not that big of a deal for you guys to score against Thailand. So what is there to celebrate? Why don't you knock it off?
Choreographed celebrations.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with them being women. Anyone who wants to say that's a sexist argument, stop it. We're even more critical of men.
It doesn't matter.
If you're acting like a dickhead, you're acting like a dickhead. It doesn't matter. True. But some people continued along that path when I think it was on the game winner when the U.S. player went over the sideline for his celebration, sipped the tea with her pinky up in the air. Yeah. And they said, oh, that's really taking a dig at your opponents there. And again, I'm watching this because I like the sport, number one. But also, number two, I'm a big fan of informed viciousness. I don't want to just go on in there and crap on something without really knowing about it. So I watch it so I can know. And as much as I would like to pile on at this point, I can't. On this day, for no other reason, you have a chance to stick it to England a little bit on the 3rd of July, the day before, or in this case, 2 days before when it happened yesterday, the day before we celebrate our independence.
All right, I see. Okay.
From imperialistic rule. Especially in a day and age, Ted Johnson.
That's a good point.
Where people embrace the English culture.
Yeah.
Oh, we love the...
Go, buddy. Go.
Thank you, Jim. We love the royals. Oh, the royal family and the royal wedding and Meghan Markle. And will they have the big...
Who cares?
Why are you so obsessed with this? Have you forgotten who you are?
Yeah.
And for people in Boston to do it? How dare you? You're in the cradle of democracy right now, and you're celebrating the very country that you claimed your independence from. So yesterday, when any player from the U.S. team had an opportunity to say, oh, by the way, as you so commonly refer to us in such a demeaning way as the former colonies, we just put it in the back of your net for a second time. We're going to go on to win this game. Why don't you put that in your little cup of tea, stick your pinky up in the air, and drink that? Because we're about to celebrate the 4th of July,
my man.
As my grandfather Poole used to call it.
I'm so, you know what? You're making me look at this in a different way. I never thought of that.
And as much as we love Great Britain, and they're a wonderful ally, and the people who travel to London have a wonderful time over there,
solid
and the
allies.
Red Sox and
solid
the Patriots allies. And all that stuff, if there's one time a year when we can say, oh, by the way, just as a reminder, up yours, this is the time to do it. So good for them, good for the tea, because if you can't do it at any other time of year, this is the time of year you can do it. As we get ready to celebrate this country's independence, and that helps me feel a little bit better about all of the gushing over the royal family. The whole reason why this country exists is we don't believe in a royal family. We don't believe in any of that crap.
Democracy,
we didn't
baby.
Want it.
Yeah.
Boston Tea Party. Here's what I think of your tea. Boom. Up 2-1. We're going to win this sumbitch. That's what I think of your tea. So good for them. Good for her. And in that one instance,
you're okay with it.
Good for the women of the United States of America's soccer team.
America, attaboy, Harry.
Sweet. I hit the post.
America. Crushed it, brother. You hit that on the sweet spot.
I didn't even know it was going there, actually. It occurred to me late.
On the screws, man.
Wow.
Never put two and two together. Never thought of it that way, but when you mention it.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
How dare you do that to England?
Hey,
how dare
almost...
you don't? We're about to celebrate the 4th of July. This is the time when you this is the time when you do troll them a little bit. Good.
We stick our chests out a little bit, but hey, we almost lost that game now. It wasn't It was a little nip and tuck, man. A little controversy, a little offsides call that negated a goal from them. Instant the replay, call, baby, at its best.
The penalty kick was, look, I don't know. It's
that was the weak sauce a little bit.
It's different watching the game.
A lot of pressure on that.
And Jim Louth pointed out, he said it is a slower game. And I was speaking with a former MLS player recently about this. And he said, the game is just, it's slow. You know, it takes longer to develop. The passes are even slower back and forth. But Jim said, you know what? For a casual soccer audience, they probably enjoy it because you can see and understand everything that's happening. You know, there's not a lot going on. There aren't these, you know, like, you know, lightning fast, crosses. Mm-hmm. You know, coming from the wings, where it's like, you know, a guy heads a goal toward that. It's like, how did it even get there? In the women's game, you can see it develop a little more clearly, especially for a casual fan.
You might not know what's going on, but you can see what they're trying to do.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of women's soccer for that reason. I can get down with women's volleyball because the volleys are a little bit longer. And
tennis.
And tennis.
Women's tennis is so superior entertainment-wise than men's.
It's not all about power. It's finesse.
Like, I want to watch these guys, you know, have how many aces, you know, per set. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's just dull. It's boring.
That's it.
Can't relate to it. Don't want. And I will say this, you know, the women at the top of their games in volleyball and in tennis, I think can compete on a lot of levels, regardless of gender. You know, soccer may be a different story, so it ends up looking like a different game, one that maybe you're accustomed to watching. But in that moment yesterday, I didn't mind them at all, and I actually kind of liked it. We've got a few calls here on a variety of subjects, Tim. We're going to take them all. Heather is down the Cape. She's the chairman of a nonprofit in the Cape. She's got good shark info for us. Ooh. So we're going to talk to Heather. Matt wants to get your opinion on a football player here in New England right now is going through a bit of a body change.
You got it.
Not a life change. Yeah. I don't think it's male menopause for this certain player, but he wants to.
I think I know who he's talking
that.
About.
And we have a Celtics call. We're going to get to all of them coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
First, our introduction.
Zolak. Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Isn't this the song that Zoe said they used to listen to when they were going to the beach? His father would put this in the 8-track in the car. Neil Diamond, Coming to America.
Ugh.
All right.
Neil Diamond. Love it.
Do you?
I'm a big Neil Diamond fan.
Sweet Caroline?
Oh, yeah. Hello, I mean.
What?
Hold on a second. Big Neil Diamond fan. So do you own or have downloaded Neil Diamond records?
No.
Okay. You're not that big of a fan.
All right.
That's fine.
But whenever his songs come on, I start singing.
I mean, Jim played Ray Charles before that. I'm a big Ray Charles fan. I own, like, on CD, like, the complete country and western recordings, like the four, you know, album set. And, you know, we'll listen to Ray Charles just, you know, of my own. I will select it and listen to it. I enjoy it. You're not doing that with Neil. It's just when it comes on, you don't throw up in your mouth and excuse yourself to the bathroom like
you
did the last show.
I just belt out the lyrics. I don't, but I'm not a big download music guy. I don't, I've never been. I grew up on sports talk and news talk.
Oh.
I like music. Don't get me wrong.
What do you listen to at the gym?
I don't listen to music.
No, weren't you? Yeah, there's no earbuds. He's there to work.
No earbuds. I don't listen to music.
I like that. When you're going to do it, do it.
Okay, here's the thing with the earbuds at the gym. You have the earbuds, right, that everybody's wearing.
Yeah. Well.
That means you got to carry your phone around.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't want to carry my phone around at the gym because I'll put it down and I'll walk away and I'll leave it and then somebody will steal my phone.
Right.
And that's not good.
You wouldn't wear the strap.
Yeah, you know, I guess I could.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a bad idea.
Because a lot of runners do that, too.
Yeah, the earbuds, it'd have to be the earbuds because I can't handle cords while I'm working out. So it'd have to be the earbuds. Maybe. Maybe. But you know what it is, too? I am, a lot of people don't know this, I am 100% deaf in my left ear. 100% deaf. I was born with nerve damage. Nobody knows why. There's nothing you can do. It's inoperable. It's not a bone issue where you could maybe repair. So I am 100% deaf in my left ear. So I have really just one good working ear. And the just loud noises right into my eardrum, it gives me headaches.
Hold on a second. Can you turn this way a little bit? Mm. Why are you wearing headphones on that side?
Because if I mean, I could do this.
Yeah, why don't you?
I mean.
Does it make any difference?
No, it makes zero difference.
Can you feel the sensation or the vibration?
The vibration.
Okay, all right.
It keeps my equilibrium just a little bit. But yeah, Ted, how did you play football if you're half deaf?
So do you always on an airplane take the window seat on the right side of the aircraft? So whoever's actually,
it's a good question.
Yes. That way you would like never have to listen to the nonsense going on next to you.
Yeah. The one good thing about being deaf in one ear, there's really
I can think of nine good things like right off the top of my head.
No.
But I'm a glass half full kind of guy. Go ahead.
It's great for sleep. Because I'll sleep on my good ear and I don't hear a damn thing.
Oh my God.
So that's the one major benefit to being deaf in one ear.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Airplane travel, another one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're lucky.
I just put my head on a pillow.
You are a lucky man.
I don't hear a damn thing. So.
All right. We have calls to get to here. We're going to start with John in Stoughton on the Celtics. John, go ahead. You're on with Hardy and Ted Johnson in for Zoe and Beadle.
Yeah, I just before I get to the Celtics, I just wanted to say the number one thing that girls ought to do not to get talked to at the gym is do away with the yoga pants. It's just too much going on there, and the average man can't think past, you know, what's going on down there. So just cover that up, and they'll be fine. But
excellent.
You know, some guys would say that's motivation, but I hear what you're saying, buddy. Attraction, distraction.
Yeah. But, basically with the Celtics, I would say that, you know, everybody keeps talking about, oh, they're going to be a scrappy team. It's like, when did they show you that last year? They didn't. They showed you a bunch of disinterested young guys, and that's all I got to say about that.
All right. Thanks, John. Young guys. There are a lot of young guys out there. But all the more reason to where if they do succeed and they do, I guess, overcome expectations, if for nothing else, it would be a nice change of pace from last year when they fell well short of their expectations. I don't know about you. I fully expect them to be in the NBA Finals last year.
Oh, absolutely.
Just mark them down and what, you know, at least they'll get to play Golden State. We'll see what happens then. Yeah. Well, we all know what happened. Matt Norwood has a question for you, Ted. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. Teddy.
Yes, sir.
Question for you. After I see the pictures of Mr. Gronkowski and hearing all the stories from yourself of how you, after you retired, you went I'm paraphrasing, the Cinnabon route. He seems like he's gone the vegan route. And I'm wondering, how does that make any sense considering all the talk you hear about him going into action movies and WWF? Is he just trying to get his body right? I'm just wondering, you know, what the act is here. Like, what's happening?
No, my feeling is that what happens is you see guys' bodies do drastic kind of changes after football because they stop lifting weights. More times, it's basically guys.
And that's it. They just stop lifting weights. That's all they stop.
Yeah.
Hold on. Phil, you just stepped in here.
Are you suggesting? There's
No. What are you
no.
talking about?
There's added things that they're.
How about this? Are there legal supplements that help you attain and retain mass?
I mean, the only thing that I think you can...
If you pack, if you're ingesting, Ted, like you, 7,000-8,000 calories a day and all the protein you take in, if you don't have to.
That's fair.
And for a lot of these guys, they're not doing it for the reasons that you do it because you like it and it's kind of your thing now. If you don't have to, and if you don't have to be, you know, you're doing weight training multiple times a week and ingesting that number of calories, if you just
that's
stop
true.
And you stop at the protein supplement, you stop like that. It gets smaller.
You're right.
That's it.
The caloric intake drops big time. You're not eating.
And that's it.
Okay, so there's a few things that go on if you're going to be losing a lot of weight. So, yeah, Gronk, you see bodies. I've seen some of the biggest transformation in bodies, particularly offensive linemen. They go one way or the other. They go up or they go down. There's a lot of offensive linemen that you just don't even recognize, like months after they retire because they change their diet and they stop lifting. You know, so it's not unusual to see guys go through major transformations soon after retiring from the game, because it's they, you know, a lot of guys they just say, "I've screwed it. I don't want to go in the weight room anymore." They've been going in the weight room since they were in high school, and they stopped doing that and they changed their diet, and you see completely different bodies on these guys soon after they retire.
Heather on Cape Cod has some good shark information for us. Go ahead, Heather.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. Where are you on the Cape?
Right now I'm sitting in Eastham, Massachusetts.
Nice.
Where, although your plane coming to America, no one is coming to Cape Cod. The beaches are empty, uh-oh, as they should be. With the danger, we've got a perfect storm of human safety, economic stability at risk. We had a five-year study where the Cape was turned into an essential petri dish for some scientists and NGOs. Now we have more sharks than we know what to do with. Any methods to deter them or further better quantify them has been delayed. We're on a very expensive five-year study just renewed for five more. No accountability, tons of money being spent. This morning there was an article where the scientists called the humans the land animals, right? So now it's animals.
We're actually going to get to that next. I believe Greg Scomel is the one who is responsible for that quote. All right,
yeah.
So Heather, are you with some kind of an organization?
I am. Thanks for asking. So Cape Cod Ocean Community, I'm the chair of this nonprofit. We are 100% focused on human safety. Nothing more. We are all volunteers. We don't have overhead, offices, cars, boats, planes. And we're really helping people educate themselves on what these options are that are not being used and gaining some momentum there, as well as helping people know for this summer, what are all these technologies you can use as a person on your person self to stay safe? Because there's a ton of rumor and conjecture. So we've been holding information sessions and all that. I mean, it's a petri dish down here, and it's really, really tough.
Okay, let me do this before we get too far the other way, because then we're going to have to start granting equal time. Why don't you just give us one safety tip for going swimming if you don't want to have a bad shark encounter?
You cannot go in the water.
Okay.
Knee high is the guidance from everybody.
All right, thank
that's
you.
The official science guidance.
Okay, thank you. That's Heather on the Cape.
That's the simplest.
What's
the best way to not get a girl pregnant? You abstain. Oh, okay, gotcha. All right.
I don't think the beaches are empty, by the way. I think there's plenty.
I saw a ton of cars going towards the beaches this morning.
I don't know. Has anybody gone to the Cape in the last couple of days? Was there a lot of traffic going down there?
Tons.
I think things are okay. Are there more sharks? Maybe.
Yeah.
They're certainly spotting a lot more. But we do have some shark prep that has been going on down the Cape. We're going to talk about that next after Sargent is Hub Headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
They are following the food, and the food, unfortunately, is very close to shore, and we are very close to shore.
Massachusetts marine biologist Greg Scomel, whose team tagged three great whites in the past few days here, says the exploding seal population is the reason for the increase in shark sightings.
I ask people, if you're going to be in an area where these sharks are hunting, and that's particularly along the Outer Cape, parts of Cape Cod Bay as well, this is a natural hunting ground for this species. And take into consideration the fact that you are a land animal going in the ocean, and be vigilant.
And that seal population is protected by law here. It might seem like there are a lot of shark sightings off Cape Cod, and there are, but actually being attacked and killed by one, well, you have statistically a better chance of being killed by a lightning strike, a car accident, or even a dog. Huh. Tony.
Can I just say a couple of things before we get into this? Number one.
By all means, Hardy, please.
Lightning strikes pretty much everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Whether you're
for the most part, yeah.
In the water, on the land, hell, in an airplane, mm-hmm. Lightning strike. Okay. Traveling in a car. Yes, much more like. How often would you say you know, given on a weekly basis, do you travel in a car?
Oh, I'd say, you know, dozens of times.
Yeah, dozens, right? Most of us. Yeah. Dozens of times every week. So I guess it stands to reason. You're in a car dozens of times every week. Lightning can strike you anywhere. You're more likely to be affected by those activities than swimming in the ocean, which most of us do twice a year for a total of an hour. Mm. You spend an hour a day in your car every day. So let's just pump.
Or even a dog.
Yeah, dog. Do you ever see any dogs?
I live with dogs all the time. I live with a dog too. Yes.
Right.
Rottweiler.
Yes. And I live with a dog who was, I weighed her this morning. She's 30 pounds. Ferocious, this yellow lab.
Oh.
She could take me out in a second if she wanted to. So I live with that danger every moment that I am home. I understand that. I don't live with a shark. I live with a dog. Of course the dog, more people die from dogs. My dog might kill me today when I get home. That's a very real possibility. You take that into account. Mm-hmm. So you have to take into account the risk that when you go in the water, yeah, this is a real possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Scommel there, who... is Scommel the one
Is he like the authority on this? Because the articles I've read, his name keeps popping up.
He always pops up. Zoe didn't like him until... I think he talked with Greg Scommel for 15 seconds, and that's all it takes. Once you have face-to-face contact with Zoe, then he loves you. He was the same way about Keith Lockhart, the conductor of the Boston Pops. Couldn't stand Keith Lockhart, thought he was very cocky, waving his stick, as Zoe would call it. And I said, a baton? He said, no, that's stick. I said, okay. And then he spoke with Keith Lockhart for 11 seconds.
Great guy.
Awesome. He's a great guy. Yeah. They're going to have me come read The Night Before Halloween. I'm going to do that.
Isn't that funny how that happens?
It's classic, Zoe.
Yeah.
You think, you know, you have an opinion on somebody until you meet them. And
right.
It all
don't judge a book.
So Zoe had FaceTime with his Greg Scommel guy?
Jim, didn't he meet Scommel?
I don't know. I thought it was Lockhart. I didn't think it was Scommel.
Okay, maybe he hasn't met Scommel. All that's going to take...
Don't let facts get in the way of a good story.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning's another one. He's hated until he met him.
Well, then Peyton Manning knew who he was.
Ted's got a story.
I can't believe you said that, Jim. I couldn't stand Peyton Manning until I met him.
Really?
That is the funniest thing ever that me and Zoe had the same reaction. Do you want to hear this story?
I would love to hear it.
I can't believe you just said that, Jim. So Zoe and I think very similarly when it comes to Peyton. I couldn't stand him. Just playing against him, I thought he was a whiny baby, and he just bugged the hell out of me. How he would always constantly complain about us in games and want more penalties, blah blah blah. So a lot of things to be, you know, where I Peyton was just get under my skin until I met him at the ESPYs 2003. Okay. And I swear, I met Peyton Manning, and I was like...
What were you at the ESPYs for?
It was 2003. We were up for best team.
Oh.
And so all the captains got to go to the ESPYs. Great time, man. Nice. Got to rub elbows with some stars, man.
Yeah.
Denzel Washington, Jamie Foxx, Tom Cruise.
ESPYs used to mean something.
It was incredible. Yeah. Incredible. One of the coolest experiences ever. You know, Willie McGinnis, I'll never forget. I always tell the story. Willie McGinnis to sit there like... there's... You know, you have the first 10 rows, and then you have like kind of a walking area between the next set of rows. And Willie was in that second set of
aisle.
Excuse me. Thank you.
You said it was Hollywood in Hollywood.
Hollywood. Yeah.
Yep.
So he's sitting there in that first kind of aisle there, first row. People are walking by, going by, kissing the ring, man. I mean, just stopping, talking to Willie. He was a big star. Anyway, we digress. But I met Peyton at the ESPYs, and I thought he was the greatest dude ever. Coolest guy ever.
So what happened when you met him? Because he was a whiner. He complains about calls and all this stuff. You had legitimate reasons for disliking him,
yeah.
And you met him, and what happened?
You're like, when you meet him, he just looks right at you. He's fully engaged. He knows all about you. Mm. That's the thing about Peyton that is, and I ran into him a couple years ago. He was a keynote speaker at an event in Houston I was at, and it was the same kind of thing. You're just like, it's like Teddy Johnson, come here, man, number 52 in your program, number one. He did that line on me, and I was eating it up.
Disarmed you.
I was like, oh, Peyton, man, yeah.
Kills you with kindness. He did the same thing to Zoe. Called him Scotty.
See?
Same thing that Brady used to call him, Scotty Z. right?
Charming.
It's like a thing.
Charming son of a gun,
Let
man.
Let me tell you, and it's something that, people of, what's the word I'm looking for, with, you know, a certain energy about them or whatever. It'll come to me. It's an easy
word.
But it whether it's Peyton Manning or I'll give you a great example. I forget who the author was, but he wrote about, you know, meeting a couple of different presidents and said it didn't matter what political side you were on. And this was from the going from Clinton into George W. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, Clinton's this great guy who's known for having his effect on people. And a buddy of mine, Tom, works on this for a PR company, and they still do a lot of advance work for the Clintons. And he said, you know, he met him this one time, and they had to kill like half an hour in the car on the way to the thing, and they played cards in the back of the limo or something. And then like 2 years later, you know, they're doing more advance work before Clinton's visit. And, you know, Tom doesn't care necessarily one way politically or another. So he's like, yeah, he was really nice. Clinton gets off the plane, and he sees my friend Tommy. He's like, Tommy, you ain't going to get me a cards again this time. Like,
boom.
How does this son of a bitch remember? And whether he does or whether he's told by his or something. And so this author said the same thing. He goes, I met Clinton. He's great and everything, you know, as advertised, he said. And this guy was not a particular fan of George W. Bush, as many people were not at certain points, you know, during his 8 years in office. He said he met the man. He said, love the guy.
Same thing.
Looks right at you.
Yep.
Knows who you're talking about. And that is the quality that so many people have, whether it's a president or Peyton Manning or Tom Cruise.
Yep.
A lot of that Scientology nonsense, mm-hmm. It's a lot about making a connection. Rich Shurtleff tells a great story about meeting Tom Cruise. And for some reason, Rich was wearing like a NASCAR hat, right? It was just like giving him. Rich doesn't care anything about NASCAR. And Tom like looks at him and shakes his hand and grabs his hand with both hands. He's like, hey, Matt. And it was after Dale Earnhardt had died. He's like, hey, Dale, we're going to miss him. And like look straight at him, trying to make the connection. Now, it didn't work with Rich. It was
Rich
obviously
right
a trick. But it's like, had he been a NASCAR fan,
right,
that guy would have gone away and saying Tom Cruise is the greatest guy in the world.
Yep.
It's this.
It's amazing. The people that have that ability, it's you know who has the very best, I think, college football coaches have it. All right? We used to.
Nick Saban? I don't see it.
Okay. I bet you if Nick Saban comes into your house to, you know, sell your son on Alabama.
Maybe.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I've interviewed one of the most dynamic people I've ever met. And it's no surprise that he can recruit and he wins. Dabo Sweeney. I met Dabo Sweeney, and I was like the biggest Dabo Sweeney fan ever. College football coaches, I'm telling you, man, they have that gift too.
All right. Now, listen, we don't have any Peyton Manning calls, but we got a couple of Sharks calls, a Sox call, and a Celtics call. So we'll get to all of them coming up next. 617-779-09.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, straight to your call, 617-779-0985. Go to Paul, who's in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Paul. You're on with Hardy and Ted Johnson in for Zoe and Beetle. What do you got?
Hey, what's going on, Hardy and Ted? I want to just say one thing right off. The both of you look great, but Ted, you are cut. You look like you put some pads on and stop playing.
I appreciate
the beginning of the season. I mean, the Bears. You're cut, dude. But anyways, I'm going to talk about the shock thing and all that. What's happening is the waters are getting warmer. There's a thing now about lobsters. You're not finding them in Maine and New Hampshire anymore. They're going up towards Canada. And this is why we're getting shocks. When I was a kid, I talked to Zolak about this. I used to go to the Cape every 2 weeks in the summer. Sure. No one even cared about that. You know what I mean?
Not a big
today,
thing.
I wouldn't even put my, I'll not even go to my shin. But they're talking about trying to do birth control with these seals. There's so many of them up there.
Yep.
And I talked to Zolak about why they won't let you hunt them. There's some people that'll eat them. I don't know. I probably wouldn't. I've never tried one, but okay. It's crazy stuff.
Yeah, there a lot to get to there, Paul. Thank you. As far as the birth control of the seals, that's my understanding that you could not wear a condom in the water. And that's why hot tub sex was always frowned upon. You know, temperature is one thing, but just...
Yeah.
And then you get into viscosity issues. Ooh, with the water.
That's not
and
good.
Yeah, there's a lot to sort through there. We may have to just break down Paul's call later. Lobsters going north.
Seals on birth control.
Seals on birth control. Talking to Zolak. Lot to unpack there.
People eat seals. I'm not a big fan of eating seals, as you said.
No, I have myself never,
yeah, I've
had,
never
seal.
Had. I've never had seal before.
Colin in New Bedford. Go ahead, Colin.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah, I wanted to call in. Greg Skolm was actually one of my cousins, and he's a good dude. He kind of gets some flack on the station once in a while, I guess mostly from Zolak, but I guess he's changed his opinion, I bet.
Well,
but yeah, he's kind of become like the face of the issue on the Cape. I feel like kind of, you know, people get on him a bit, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, he is sometimes the bearer of bad news. You know, imagine being a meteorologist and all you're doing is talking about storms that are coming in. So I think Skolm gets, you know, maybe unfairly connected with that. And you know, to your point about Zoe not liking him, Skolm was part of the trifecta of Scott Zolak's irrational hatreds. And those three were shark expert Greg Skolm, Boston Pops conductor Keith Lockhart, and that elf guy from the Rudolph Christmas special.
Hermes.
Yeah, I know it's not too long ago Greg actually got invited to conduct the Boston Pops. So, I mean, you could have sent over there and he could have killed two birds with one stone.
Well, he's already made up with Keith Lockhart. I think they're you know, fast friends. But, yeah, I'm sure speaking with Greg Skolm for a few minutes would probably change those minds. I've always been a Dr. John Mandelman guy, who is, I believe, head of research at the, as Zoe would call it, the Aquatic Center downtown, the New England Aquarium. And he's well-versed in many areas, a former neighbor of mine and a friend of mine, Dr. Mandelman.
That's whose opinion you trust the most.
Look,
when it comes to shark research,
you know,
and data.
When you do yard work alongside a guy,
there's a bond.
You develop a kinship,
yeah,
right?
I
so,
get that.
And you know, our kids are friends and things like that. But you know, there's a lot of information out there. A lot of Celtics talk too as we go to Paul in East Providence. Go ahead, Paul Hardy and Ted Johnson in for Zoe and Beadle.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. What's going on?
Not much,
this is
man.
It.
Hey, quick question. Now that I'm noticing that the Celtics are picking up all these, for a choice of better word, dopes. Now, quick question. Do you think, why is it that...
Well, who's a dope?
President, what's that?
You said all these dopes?
Correct. In other words, these seven-footers, this seven-footer
yeah,
that we have no idea. In
I
other
hate
words,
seven-foot like, basketball players. They're so stupid. All right, go ahead.
No, in other words, like we're getting these YouTube pictures of seven footers. So
there's actually videos on YouTube.
Correct.
Yeah.
But my question is, what do you think of Cousins?
I think for a team who had locker room issues last year, you don't want to go down that route. That's what I think.
Jones and I got into this yesterday about that. He thought he would be awesome to get him in here for a veteran minimum. And it's like, yeah, you know, you bring in Cousins with that locker room after all they went through, I don't think it would be good for team chemistry. Chemistry, it's about talent.
It is about talent. And I just don't know if DeMarcus Cousins has enough talent to offset what he could potentially do to the locker room. And is it enough to make them, you know, change their chances in the East? Does DeMarcus Cousins measurably change their chances in the East? And if you tell me, yeah, right now I have him barely getting in as a, you know, maybe a five or a six seed, to making them like a real contender and turns them into a team that could challenge either Toronto or Philadelphia. Okay, let's have that conversation. I haven't thought about it that much. I didn't think it was a realistic possibility.
Yeah, he's not the same. Let's face it. I mean, he came back after his Achilles. He missed half of last season rehabbing from his Achilles. He came back. He looked overweight, out of shape, and he just didn't look like he was the same player. You're talking about a guy who needs the ball and wants to be more of a focal point of the offense. Prior to that injury, even when he was with Sacramento and the Pelicans, I mean, this game was, I mean, I loved his game. I mean, he's got this, an offensive game that is like, it's unparalleled for a guy his size. But he's got attitude issues. He can be just bad in the locker room, and he doesn't play any defense, and he's just not the same player he was before he tore his Achilles.
All right, well, so we have a lot more on the board to get to here, and we're going to get to all of them, whether it's about the women's soccer team yesterday, another shark, another activist. Now, I don't know if this person is pro-shark or anti-shark. We had a pretty strong anti-shark activist on earlier.
This struck a nerve here, man.
This guy might be pro-shark, for all I know.
We'll see.
And more on the Celtics, all coming up here after Sargent is Hub Headlines, 90 seconds, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.